Live from Brayton, Florida this morning, Pittsburgh Pirate broadcaster Greg Brown officially taking the mound, if you will, and ushering in our spring training reports here on WCBC. Greg, as always, thank you for joining us. Another season of Pittsburgh Pirate baseball. And before we get into looking ahead to this year and the spring, let's look back at last season, a season that definitely had its fair share of peaks and valleys. But for you, from your perspective, what grade would you give the Pirates in 2024 overall?
Well, first of all, Garrett, good morning, and great to talk to you again. We were just chatting for a few moments before actually taking the air, and we both said almost in unison, cannot believe it's back. It's been at 1 year that we've chatted on these airwaves, and it sure does fly. And it's great to be back in Bradenton. Although I will tell you, Garrett, I know we chat about the weather a lot. It's as cold here as I ever remember it.
Oh, geez.
It was 46 degrees this morning, and it is going to get into the 60s. But it's darn right cold, and it's bone chilling when you're used to warmer temperatures, and it gets even below 60. But now, as I said, mid 40s, it'll be warmer a little bit later today. Yeah, last year, the grade I would give the Pirates season, my initial reaction was a D, and I think I'll stick with that. It was a D for disappointment and just a D in an overall grade because there was so much hope, so much anticipation, and especially the way the team was playing into July.
Yeah,
you know, they were over 500, or they were then striking distance of a wild card spot. And then they just had a terrible collapse. They had a 10-game losing streak. They had all things going for them. They had people talking around baseball about how other clubs don't want to play the Pirates in the postseason because of that pitching staff. And then, with Skeens kind of leading the way, and Jared Jones did go down with an injury return later, things just fell apart, quite honestly. And because of that, I think I'll give the season a D. But... as I've also said before, Garrett, regardless of the year before, whether you win or lose, the following season, for the most part, shouldn't have any bearing on what happened in the preceding year or years.
Yeah.
Now, you can build on it. You can do that. The one thing the Pirates needed to do was to find a way to go get over the hump, much like they did when they collapsed in 2012. They figured out that way to go get over the hump and get to the postseason in 2013. So it's doable. They brought in a couple of veterans who don't necessarily have, great track records when it comes to recent batting averages at the plate and performances, and Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier. Rumblings that the Pirates have signed veteran lefty Andrew Haney, which would be huge, a free agent, because I really felt like, as good as their pitching is, they need a veteran in that staff. And but anyway, I think overall, I think that they've addressed some issues, not any big names, not any big bats, but just by, again, the fact that they went through what they did last year, the failures of 2024 should allow them to understand what it takes to reach that next level in 2025.
Greg, a couple of things you mentioned there. You mentioned hope, and then you mentioned Paul Skeens, and then you also made the comment of kind of building a foundation. And I think one takeaway from last year with the emergence of Paul Skeens and how well he did, earning Rookie of the Year and pitching as well as he did, I think it provides a lot of hope for Pirates fans that they have that kind of an arm who can consistently get it done. Did you expect him to come on the scene and be that dominant, that good, that quick?
No, Garrett, I did not. And I will never forget my attitude. And I think what I said on the air, the pregame that we were doing our open on the TV side when he was making his major league debut against the Chicago Cubs at PNC Park in May, because all the buzz and all the anticipation of his arrival, I kept thinking to myself, and I said as much on the air, would you look at what Jared Jones was doing at the time. I was absolutely awestruck at Jones and this rookie who had started the year with the Pirates and the numbers he was putting up, the dominant performances. I was warning people that you can't, the expectations were too high for Skeens. I said, you know, if he were to match what Jared Jones is doing, we should, as Pirate fans, be grateful.
Sure.
But please, don't expect Skeens to be better than Jones. Well, I was dead wrong because as hard as it would have been for me to believe, had I not seen it, Skeens was better than Jared Jones, with, of course, no disrespect to Jared Jones in the year he put up.
Sure.
Skeens was otherworldly, of course, and you're right. That's, you know, when you have a guy like Skeens at the top of your rotation, who is a generational pitcher, he's a once-in-a-lifetime guy that we have to embrace and enjoy every time he's out there. When you have a guy like that leading your rotation, a true ace horse, and the rest can step in line and follow along, then you do have a chance to win a lot of ball games.
Greg, away from baseball, and final question for this morning, some real tough news this week out of Pittsburgh, the passing of Mike Lang, and I saw your post and I replied to it. You know, an iconic voice of the Pittsburgh area. Who was Mike Lang to you?
Well, and thanks for that, by the way, Garrett. People have reached out. It's been unbelievable. And it's not, I keep telling people, it's not just me. Mike treated so many like me, like a father figure. And so what he, in terms of what he meant to me, I've said this also, Garrett, that, you know, in your lifetime, there are about, I don't know, there are a handful of people in your lifetime that you can count on, rely on to answer the call, literally, figuratively, text, visit, talk to about anything. Not just broadcasting, not just sports, but anything in life. He was my Yoda. He was the guy I relied on in just about every possible aspect of life. The challenges, the pitfalls, the questions, and I certainly had a ton of good times with him, but I will miss those opportunities with his sage advice. Whether he gives me a text, I shoot him a text and ask him a question. I will miss seeing him, but I will be grateful for the time I had with him, and I'm also grateful that he is no longer suffering, because the last couple of years it wasn't good, and he was struggling. And for that, again, I know he's at peace and he's in a better place, but I'll miss him. He was one of my dearest, closest friends of my lifetime, and he meant the world to me. I'm a broadcaster because of him, and it was very tough news the other day.
Greg, from you, in terms of being a colleague, of course, as broadcasters, you guys have, you know, your catchphrases. Of course, cannonball coming, clear the deck. What was your favorite Mike Lang catchphrase that he used?
Well, do you have a few minutes here, Garrett, or no?
Sure, sure.
You got a couple minutes?
Yeah.
Because when I'm asked that question, I tell people that that's an easy answer, because I knew Mike before I was a broadcaster, and I was actually in the Pittsburgh Pirates front office, and I would go out on occasion with Mike. Mike was a night owl. you didn't see Mike out in the bars before 10 o'clock at night. I'd call him and say, "Hey, you want to have a beer somewhere?" He goes, "Have you checked the time? You know how early it is?" I said, "Well, it's like 9:30 at night." So yeah, he didn't go out. He was a night owl, but we were out one night, I and my buddy Mark Norelli, with Mike, and he was seated at the bar. his back was to us. There was a crowded bar. Mike liked to smoke his cigarettes, so he's at the bar smoking a cigarette. He's got a beer. I'm standing off to the side. He's in his bar stool. I'm talking to Norelli. Mike Lang is not at all part of our conversation. He liked to, when he went to these bars, he'd like to veg out.
Sure.
And either listen to music or just, again, he would talk to you, but he wasn't one to go out for conversation.
Sure.
He wanted to just go out and just be there. Anyhow, so Mark is telling me a story, and he says, Brown, this guy didn't know whether to beep or wind his watch. So Norelli used a cuss word that I won't use on the air. And when he said that, again, Mike, with his back to us, Mike spins around on his bar stool and reaches out and interrupts Mark Norelli and says, what did you just say? And Norelli said, well, what do you mean? He didn't know whether to blank or wind his watch.
Yeah.
And Mike takes a drag of his cigarette, looks toward the sky, and nods. He goes, I like it. And he turns and asks the bartender for a pen. He grabs a bar napkin, and he starts writing it down. And Norelli and I are now, apoplectic. We're like, are you going to use it as a call? And he goes, nah, I might. And from that day on, we, Mark and I, my buddy Norelli, were anxious to hear the radio post game to hear if Lang was using our call. And one night, we were running down from the Mellon Arena, or the Igloo, and ran into our cars after our game. We were there at the arena to watch it. We went to hear the post game show, and we're figuring, he's got to do it. We turned on the post game, and they must have scored 5 goals. And not once did he use our call. And Norelli's mad now. He says, boy, you got to call Lang and tell he's got to use our call. So I called Mike. I said, Mike, Norelli's really upset. He said, we're anticipating this call, and you haven't used it. He said, well, you tell Norelli to calm down. I got 1,000 calls. Tell him to be patient. So I told Norelli, and now again, we wait, and one night we're at the arena again, weeks later, and we run down as we always do. We're still anticipating it. We turn on the radio. We hear the post-game show, and then in the second period, the Penguins took a 3-1 lead, and you hear the replay, down the right circle, Jagr over Lemieux. Lemieux spins. He shoots and scores, and Hextall didn't know whether to cry or wind his watch. And from that moment, we were superstars. We were high-fiving each other.
Wow.
We thought we had scored the goal. So my favorite call by far is he didn't know whether to cry or wind his watch because Mark Norelli, my buddy, and I played a role in that call.
That's awesome. Yeah, he will be sorely missed. And great catchphrases all over the years, and an iconic voice in the Pittsburgh area. Greg, I appreciate you kicking off things for us here on the Pittsburgh Pirates Spring Training Reports, and we'll be back with you on Monday. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you then.
Gary, thanks again for your kind words, and look forward to talking to you on Monday.